Getting down to business here, Chris Sale's Tommy John surgery drums up some controversy. We've talked quite a bit about it over the first couple of hours. Did you have any issue with him getting the procedure done in the wake of the coronavirus?
You know, in the end, I didn't because of the way they did it. I mean, there's no rule against it, no law against it in California. He's got a private practice, Elitrash, however you say it, Elitrash. And it sounded like, you know, he flew out to California where they had the surgery, you know, not being done at a hospital. And from what I understand, they made sure it was a place that didn't have any, you know, need or use for any of the coronavirus patients. It wasn't a place like that. It was an outpatient selective special surgery. I think they were careful. The Mets went out and did it with DeGrom, and I think the Red Sox were a little more patient. The only criticism, and I think it's fair, is that they kind of hid it and were secretive about it until after it was done. A little more transparency maybe is what some people, certainly Dan Shaughnessy and some others here, were looking for, and I think that's fair. But I think in the end, they were careful and did it the right way.
TC, my only issue was him going to Los Angeles, a state that's almost on entirely lockdown. Couldn't he have gotten this done in Georgia, Alabama? There's only two people in the world that can do Tommy John surgeries?
No, as I understand it, part of it was, you know, they wanted to do it in Florida, but Florida is not allowing any elective surgeries to happen there at all. They want to even keep the possibility that private surgery places are going to be available if they need to rush people in. So I think that was part of their due diligence, finding a state where it was legal. They didn't want to break any rules or laws. And as I understand it, they would have waited longer if they had to, if they couldn't get it done there. But once he was told that it could be done at that surgeon's place out there in L.A., that was where they chose to do it.
Tom Karen, Sox Bruins insider at Nesson with us. Thanks to Stacey Adamski at Adamski Law, 802-363-6371 or AdamskiLaw.com. You know, we still don't have a definitive on the Red Sox punishment. Should all this count as time served for Alex Cora when it comes to a suspension? Do you believe it should be length of time or games?
Well, that's a good question because A.J. Hinch, right, they said a season. Now, is it a shortened season? I assume that it's a, you know, if they play any baseball this year, I assume A.J. Hinch will have served off his season, whether it's a 40, 60, 80, or 162-game season. The problem with Cora is we just don't know how long it is. Is it one season? Is it two seasons? Is it more than that? Is it less? I don't even know what the framework is before we can ask if this should count. I don't think it's fair that they're waiting to maybe see how long this season is before deciding what Cora's punishment is. I mean, enough's enough here. I know he said they got tied up with all this stuff, but he said the deal was done. We just haven't had a chance to write it up yet. Well, my God, get somebody to write it up. You know, get an intern who can write it up for you. I mean, it's we're past the point of this being ridiculous. And I know it's not important, and we don't know how many games there are going to be. But, hell, we're all looking for something to talk about, so you might as well get off the pot and do it.
Yeah, exactly. TC, you know, interesting, I never thought that Alex Cora would ever come back and be manager of the Red Sox, but if there was no baseball this year, could that open up a door for maybe him to return if it's like a six-month or one-year suspension? They say, okay, now let's bring him back. We didn't play any games. Bring him back.
Well, that's a good question. Now, if they don't play any games at all, did he serve a one-year suspension? You know, is A.J. Hinch eligible to come back in 2021 if there was no 2020? I haven't seen an answer to that yet. I do know, and I found this interesting, and you guys have probably seen it, that if there are no games played at all this season, then the Red Sox do not get to reset their tax penalty because they didn't spend the year getting under it, so they would have to get under it next year when we expected them to go well over it. They would have to stay probably under 210 or whatever the tax level is, because if there are no games played this year, they do not look at this year as a year you reset. And that's a big blow to the Red Sox plan.
I'll say that's not what they had in mind. So we actually got into this a little bit yesterday, TC, and we had the vice president of the Lake Monsters on to react to it. But how do you think minor league baseball is going to be impacted as a result of all this stuff when the draft changes, especially short season?
Oh, there's no doubt there. The short season guys are going to be in trouble because if you lower that to five rounds or whatever they're saying it's going to be, and beyond that, beyond the low number of rounds, there are severe limits at what free agents can get if they don't get drafted. So you're talking about a guy who'd be a sixth-round draft pick, would be a pretty good player, and would normally get a fair amount of money. I don't remember the numbers, but it's real low, the signing bonus and what they can sign for. Most of those guys, and you couple that with the fact that the NCAA is giving you a chance to get another year of eligibility, I think you're really going to see that impact baseball, where these guys who aren't drafted in the first five rounds or whatever it ends up being, say, to heck with that, I'm going to go one more year of college instead of turning pro. I think there's going to be a real short number of players to fill those short season teams. And you can't help but wonder, and I don't know what he said with you yesterday, but you can't help but wonder if this is a little bit nefarious by the industry of baseball, who wants to lower the number of minor league teams anyway. So what an easy way to do that, by starting with this, right? Lower the number of players available to those teams, then you can push to lower the number of teams.
Well, that's what I said. I didn't make a whole lot of friends with that assessment, TC. But yeah, and also I think baseball tries to spin this as more lost revenue, and I don't know how many people are going to be groaning about it, essentially. They lose all this money in 2020. Are people going to just all of a sudden be okay with them cutting their local minor league team to try to save money? I don't feel like it's going to be as big a deal as it was 4 months ago.
No, and rightfully so, because they are going to lose a lot of money. I mean, that's the thing. And I say, is that something nefarious? I mean, the reality of it is, baseball is going to lose a lot of money here with all these games. And to be paying exorbitant signing numbers, bonuses and such, for players who are years away from ever playing in the majors, that's hard to do when you have no revenue stream coming in. So I think all bets are off, especially if there's no season or a very short season. The TV money that's lost, the ticket revenue that's lost, merchandise sales that are lost, you can't even imagine. It's billions of dollars that are going to be lost here. And if they can recoup a little of that by taking it away from the next generation of players, or pushing off that next generation of players by another year, that's just smart business. And at some point, you know, we're asking these businesses, and they can afford it, I get it, but we're asking them to keep paying their employees and keep paying the ticket takers and keep paying the broadcasters, please. But yeah, as we do all that, there's got to be a point where they've got to say, listen, we've got to make up some of this money somewhere. And clearly that's the place they chose to do it, in the current major leaguers. The Players Association agreed.
TC, how would you feel about baseball games with no fans? How would that register with you, maybe playing games in neutral site stadiums?
Yeah, I come around on that. 2 weeks ago, I'd have told you, what a horrible idea. Who wants that? You need the roar of the crowd. And now what I've come to realize is we need something to watch more than ever. Yeah. I'm getting through the Tiger King just because I got to be able to talk to everybody else about this thing. I don't know if you guys are watching it at all.
No,
but it's like the top rated thing on Netflix ever. And if this thing, and it's watching a train wreck. And if that can get these kind of numbers, imagine what a baseball game is going to get. Imagine what a Sunday night Red Sox Yankees game is going to get. I don't care. You know, the fact that the crowd, the stadium's empty, the ballpark's empty, might even add to the interest, because it'll be such an unusual environment. I think we need the distraction. I think we need games. Play basketball in front of an empty arena. Play hockey on an empty ice sheet, and play baseball in an empty stadium. Just give me games, because I need something to watch.
What about scheduling? Do you have same? I mean, do you just worry about the, you know, your own conference, your own division games? Worry about the American League, or do you still try to do interleague?
Yeah, well, I think I told you guys this in the past, that you know they'd have to really rework an entire schedule. I'm hearing that's not the case now. I'm hearing the plan, at least at this point, is whenever they can resume, they will resume the old schedule on that day.
Wow.
And it'll be the existing schedule. And what I've been told, and this really makes sense when you start to think about it, is, you know, those dates are already cleared. Those ballparks are held for that. There's nothing else scheduled. Sometimes they're scheduled around things. You know, the Democratic National Convention is supposed to be in Milwaukee. There are certain events in certain cities that you schedule the game to be there when it happens, or to be away when it happens. There's a lot of headaches when you start having to redo a schedule and look at new availability. Now, what happens is you're going to have some teams, right? Just by the schedule, some teams will have more games than others. So you're going to have to add some games to some teams so everybody plays the same number. And then I think the plan would be, and that's where your doubleheaders come in, the seven-inning doubleheaders, if you need to even out the division schedule, say you need two more games against the Orioles, well, you schedule two of the doubleheaders against the Orioles. And that's how you would balance out the division schedule. So I found that interesting.
Do you find, with all the criticism going into the season of the Red Sox potential win totals this year, that a short season like that might be to their advantage?
Well, I think what would be to their advantage is you know, Alex Verdugo might be ready to play when the season starts. Right. I think, you know, Colin McHugh, they don't have a fourth starter. I mean, they have Ryan Weber, but, you know, a guy who's got experience they don't have. And Colin McHugh was a real good pitcher a few years back, and he hasn't even started throwing yet, but maybe he gets close to starting. I think, you know, that's where they come out ahead. But to your point, a short season, anything can happen. And part of the agreement, they specifically said they will look at an expanded playoff field this season. So more teams would have it. The idea is to create more excitement in a shortened season. So who knows what happens if you get to be one of those teams.
Tom Karen, Sox Bruins insider at Nesson with us here on the Huddle, 101.3 The Game, 101.3thegame.com every week. Thanks to Stacey Adamski, 802-363-6371. TC, I'm all for playing as much baseball as possible. What I don't want to see, though, is baseball into late November and early December, because I don't want to start impacting this season and next season. How do you feel about how late the season should go?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of it, but I think it's going to happen, and I understand why. I mean, you got to get as many games as you can, and the idea, you know, it seems they're pretty open and pretty much planning on having games through October in the regular season, and then having the playoffs in late October into November, probably in neutral site, warm climates. Listen, from what I understand, they said anything is up, is on the table. Anything is up for grabs. Empty stadiums, doubleheaders, late November playoffs. They'll do all of it and more if that's what it takes to get baseball back.
TC, I enjoyed Nesson this weekend. I was watching Bruins hockey against the Canadians from, you know, 10 years ago, and I'm watching Red Sox World Series runs in 2013, and I was watching David Price pitch against the Red Sox for the Rays in the ALDS that year. What's your favorite championship run? You've had a lot of them. What's your favorite championship run?
Well, I mean, 2004 was magical and mythical, and it's always hard to look past that. I mean, those 4 days in October, you know, are just the last four wins against the Yankees. We've never seen anything like that. A team had never come back from 3-0. But 13 is always a special place for me because, you know, the Boston Marathon bombing happened and Boston Strong. You know, I was talking the other day, I was asked what my favorite home game, regular season home game, and I think it was that April 20th game when David Ortiz said, "This is our bleeping city." And people forget the game itself was a great game. Buchholz won 8 innings, and Daniel Nava hit a 3-run home run in the 8th inning. That was the game where Johnny Gomes did the Boston Strong flex on second base. That was the cover of Sports Illustrated. You know, they've just 13 was special because the city had been rocked to the core. You know, we sheltered in place. It was the first time we had ever heard that expression, and now the whole country is talking about it. And they came back out and won that game, and then I got to be part of the parade, and we stopped at the starting line of the Boston Marathon, and Johnny Gomes and David Ortiz, they took the trophy out and put it down on the starting line with the Boston Strong jersey. That was pretty special. In fact, last night we were airing the game when Shane Victorino hit the grand slam, and I tweeted something about how, remember his walk-up song in the playoffs was Bob Marley's Three Little Birds, when every little thing's going to be all right, which is a pretty good song to be singing right now. And, you know, I tweeted something about that, and then Victorino tweeted back at me with the hang loose emoji. And, you know, it's I still think that championship resonates. Jared Saltalamacchia and I were talking a couple days ago as it was airing, his kids watching the championship with him. That 13 one was pretty special, but I put 04 in a class of its own because that was the one that ended the curse.
TC, I was going to say, what's going on with Tuca? What's happening there? Does he really want to retire or what?
Well, he's got one more year in his contract, right? I think he's talking about after the contract, yeah. But I get it. He's been a, you know, he's a thoughtful guy. He says what's on his mind. And you know, we've seen him at times go through stretches where he struggles and he talks about the workload. You know, I just think he's been a really good goaltender for this team for a long time. And there's got to come a point where, you know, much like David Ortiz, right? Think of the season he had at the end. one of the best seasons of his career. But he said, I just can't keep doing it. The effort and preparation and therapy it takes to be at this level and continue, it's just too much to live a life. And I think Tuca's hinting at that, and I wouldn't ever blame him for that. You know, we're not all Tom Brady. We don't all play into our mid-40s, and I totally get it. And, you know, they're going to have to think about, you know, it's a good thing they signed Jeremy Swayman, the Hockey's Player of the Year, great goalie out of UMaine.
Yeah,
he'll be a possibility in the future. They've got some guys in the pipeline, but it's hard to imagine this team without Tuca.
There's very few cities in America I can imagine sports just being taken away from where it affects the human beings more in it than Boston. What's the strangest thing you've seen or heard regarding no sports in Boston?
Well, I mean, just, you know, I've talked to so many. Yeah. Or Dave O'Brien, who, you know, calls it, you know, when he's not doing a baseball game, he's doing a college basketball game or college football game on ESPN. I mean, this guy's one of the elite play-by-play guys in the industry. And you know, he's been calling me just bored out of his mind on his house in New Hampshire. And, you know, we're all doing the same thing. Like, you know, it's the first time ever that you know, we watch what my wife wants to watch. Usually I'm in one room watching a game, and she's in another room watching her stuff. And we've been watching shows I've never even heard of. And just, it's just, you know, we're all jonesing for something to do. I know Jack Edwards has been bouncing off the wall. I've heard rumors that he's going to start doing one of those things where he calls random moments that people send him. He'll do the play-by-play. But it's just, it's in your blood, you know? I mean, what's today, Tuesday? Thursday would be the Fenway opener, you know, and I was thinking today, I think I'm going to drive in and just go do a lap around Fenway in the car and then come home just to see the ballpark, because it's almost unimaginable to be sitting here April's tomorrow and to not just be doing games now, but it's the fact that we don't know when we'll be doing games. Is it a month? Is it 3 months? Is it next year? That's what, if you start thinking too much about that, you'll go nuts.
TC, I got something for you to do. Off our conversation last week, you said you would take the quarantine time to learn Spanish. So one of our listeners, Elliot in Burlington, is a high school Spanish teacher, and he has developed remote learning for his students. And he sent me the email that he has for his students. So he said, please pass this along to TC. So I'll get your email, and I will send you Elliot in Burlington's high school Spanish plan.
Hola.
I'm in. I hope it's Spanish 1. I mean, it better not be the advanced class.
He said that he made it around a baseball theme, so it'll fit right in with what you said.
Oh, that's fantastic. All right, that's tell Elliot I'm in. There you go. I'm trying to use my time productively, and I'm sick of doing chores around the house. Thank you.
I'm waiting for the end of 2020. Rafael Devers has hit a walk-off, and there's TC on the sideline, or on the sideline, in front of the dugout, getting the post-game interview in Spanish and then translating it himself.
Well, I told you, though, my plan is to not tell any of the players that I understand Spanish.
Okay.
Right. That's, yes, I want to get the good stuff in the clubhouse without them knowing I can understand. You know, I know a couple of Spanish words that I can't say on your radio station, but when they start calling me those, I'll know, you know, where they're talking about me, and I'll know what's going on.
I love it. Tom Karen, Red Sox and Bruin insider. Nessa, thanks to Stacey Adamski at Adamski Law. Stay safe, TC, and we'll speak to you next week, my friend.
Thank you, guys. Same to you. Keep on rocking.
Thanks, Tom.